But today we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1 through 10 is where we're going to be. Ephesians is probably, my favorite epistle, one of my favorite scripture. I have a lot of those. And you'll see that, and I'm sure all of us do, but it's a great epistle. It's really, it gives us God's design and God's purpose for the church. It shows, God reveals to us who we are, what we're supposed to be. And it reveals his commitment, what he's done for us and what he's done in us and his commitment and his pleasure he takes in the church. And also, as we sang the song, and Veronica picked some really good songs that go right with the message. And so it speaks who we are, who Christ has made us to be. And that what we're called to do, what we're called to live out, what we're called to walk out. We're going to see this word walk is in the book. The word walk is used often in the Old Testament and New Testament. And sometimes we think walk, it's not how you walk, like your gait. He's talking about how you live the whole of your life. What is your life occupied with? And it's used a variety of times. In Ephesians, it uses it, I think, six times. It mentions the word walk. And we're going to see that in a couple of scriptures we read. And Paul's calling us to walk something out. And then there's Paul. But God's calling us to walk out who we really are in Christ. And so we're going to look at that. And there's a lot of good stuff in Ephesians. I mean, we can't cover it all. We're just going to scratch the surface, just a little bit of it. And my hope is that maybe I stir your heart to dig a little deeper into Ephesians and the message that God has for us there. And that it would change your life and you would embrace what God has called you to be, who you are, and what he's called you to walk in. And so let's look at Ephesians. We're going to read chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, but we're going to take it in a couple of chunks. Oh, actually, perfect. I was hoping just 1 through 3. There you go. Yeah, so verses 1 through 3, we're going to be looking at it. We're going to look at it in chunks, it's a couple of verses at a time, and I'll share some things as we move along through that. And I'll reference some other scriptures for you to look up if you want afterwards and read a couple others. God, as we spend some time hearing your word, I pray, God, your spirit would speak to us. I pray, God, your heart would ready us for your word in a way that it's not just something we gain, some intellectual understanding, but just as Paul prayed, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, not just to gain, understand more of who you are, but to be able to embrace all that we are and embrace the walk you've called us to. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's read verse 1 through 3. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Whew. Paul tells us who we were, right? This is what we were before we knew Christ, before salvation, who we were. We were dead. We were sons of disobedience. We were in active rebellion and opposition to our God, and we lived out the desires of our body and our mind. So we were walking in our trespasses and sin, he talks about. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, in which we once walked. We walked in those things. And Paul used that word walk to us. That this is what occupied us. This is what our whole life consisted of before we knew Christ. Is we're giving ourselves to our desires and our minds and what we desire. And Paul says we were dead. Dead in our trespasses and sin. What does that mean? We're dead in our trespasses and sin. This is not about physical death because they were alive. We're alive. Even as we read this, you know, Paul wrote this. It's titled Ephesians, it's come to be accepted. It's a circular letter, would have been read by numerous churches at the time, and we were going to read it like it's written directly to us. And so here we are. It says that this is not about physical death. This is about a spiritual death, a moral death. We are spiritually and morally dead before we came to know Christ. And in that place, we were cut off. We were separated from God, and we were completely incapable of giving ourselves life. If we're dead, we can't give ourselves life. We need someone else outside of ourselves who is alive to come and intervene in our life. And that's the condition we were in. And we were dead. And by nature, as Paul says, that we were children of wrath, destined for eternal judgment. That's what we were. And Paul's reminding them, reminding us of that. But let's go on. Because that's not the end of the story, right? Thank God. Right? Thank God. That's not the end of the end of the story. There's more to this story. But God. Two of my favorite words. Right? Yes, I see someone else that enjoys those words. You read that? There's where God intervenes on our behalf when we couldn't. That's the kind of God we serve. We may have been in this condition of being dead, spiritually, morally dead, separated from God, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We talk about Jesus dying for our sins, but Jesus didn't just come to die for our sins, right? You see, here is much more. Jesus came to us individually. When we were dead, when we were separated, when we were opposed to God. I look at myself. I was against Christ. I spoke against Christ. He didn't just, you know, I knew he died on the cross for me, but there was a moment in time he came to me. That's what he says here. When we could not give ourselves life, he comes to us and gives us life. That's what Paul's talking about here. When we were dead, utterly incapable, we needed someone else to give us life. I often associate with, I was in the military, and I was in an air evac squadron, and with that, I came associated with what a defibrillator is. And I associate this where he comes to us when we're dead, and he gives us life, but God applied a spiritual defibrillator to us. There's come time he came to me, came to you, and he hits us with that, and all of a sudden we come alive, we become fully aware. God is real. And we come alive, and we're drawn, and we're like, I want to know more. I remember that moment in my life that I was opposed, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, it's the grace of God that comes to me, and he hits me. And he all of a sudden makes me alive, aware. Gives me this new inclination in my heart that's drawn to him, to want to find out more of who he is. That's what he does. Paul says, that's who you were. Now this is who you are. This is who you are because of God. This is your actions in the past. That was your plight. But here's God's actions, and here's a new existence you now have in Christ. Good news, isn't it? Good news. Good news. And if you're here and you want in on this good news, it's still open. If you're on Facebook and you're hearing this for the first time and want in on this good news, this is great news. It's not just that he made us alive. He's forgiven us of every sin. But that's not all there is. And as a young Christian, I thought, okay, being saved meant I was forgiven and I'm going to get to heaven someday. And we see here that it's much more than that. He said we're saved by grace, but he doesn't just say he's made us alive, right? What's he say? He's raised us up. Raised us up to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Salvation is, it is, includes being forgiven. You get into heaven. What I like to also say it is, he didn't just die to get me to heaven, he died to get heaven in me. The life of the kingdom now is in us. The Spirit of the living God. He didn't say, okay, now go about your life, Kenny, and try to figure it out on your own. No, he came and he lives in us, and he seals us with his Spirit, and he gives us life. He starts to work in us and work with us. And we're a new creation now. We're part of the eternal household of God. That's who we are. We sang who we are. This is some of the stuff who we are. We have a new life, a new existence, a new identity, a new position, a new authority, a new purpose for our life. It's not just being forgiven. We're walking in a whole new existence. We're being occupied by God, and now we're being occupied with a whole new existence and purpose for our life. Amen? Yes, we can clap. Yes. That's okay. This is nothing to be quiet about. Actually, I'm going to read with that. I'm going to bring back something that John read from Psalm 40. Oh, if I can find it here. Oh, wrong one. Hold on. Let me find it. As he was reading that, I was thinking this here says, I have not hidden your deliverance in my heart. I'm making it known. We're not supposed to hide this. And the psalmist is saying, I've recognized your faith, and I'm not going to hide this in me anymore. We're not called to hide this. This is a life we're supposed to give away. Freely we've been given, freely we're called to give it away. Amen. Now, I know it's true, like you're telling me something, like we're not going to get this until Christ returns. Yes, we're not going to experience this in the fullness of all it's meant to be. We're not going to fully understand it until Christ returns. But guess what? You and me are supposed to be experiencing a measure of the life of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that new creation life right now. It's supposed to change us and call us to live completely different than we ever did before. And thank God he doesn't let us be until we start to do that. And then verse 7 there, it says, and that in coming ages he might show his immeasurable riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ. He's done this for himself. And we've been, like, this is a great deal for me and you. But he's done it for himself. That in the age to come, what he's done would be shown. As we're like trophies of grace. Do you get that? We are trophies of grace. But God doesn't take and put his trophies up on account up here. He puts it in the world. And he calls that trophy to walk around and express the grace. We're not supposed to hide it in us. We're called to be trophies that express the living grace that changed our life. That's the good news. God's not just giving us a new life. He's giving us a new work. A new life to live out. A new existence. And we're not called to try to make it work on our own. We're going to look at that. But we're trophies of grace. I want you to know a secret. God was not reluctant in doing this. He took great pleasure in taking on flesh for the sake of us to become all we're supposed to be in Jesus. He takes pleasure in us. He's not reluctant in doing this. This is part of his eternal plan before the foundations of the world. You were chosen before creation, predestined to be part of God's eternal plan and purposes. So he's not reluctant. And so when God's working in your life now, he's not doing it reluctantly like, oh man, do I got to do this again for Mark? No. Oh, I'm going to be working in Mark's life. And he loves to do that. He loves to do it in my life. He loves to do it in yours. That's his heart for us. We can't forget that in the midst of this. Not something we're called to work on. Hopefully he'll love us for it. No, in his love for us, he's working this constantly in us, and not with reluctance, but with great pleasure and joy. So Paul's reminded us of who we were. Excuse me. And who we are now. Well, let's read now verse 8 through 10. 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, that no one may boast. We just sang about that, didn't we? I don't boast in, you know, anything. And Paul's saying here, we shouldn't. No one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before and that we should walk in them. First of all, let's remember this entire process. From start to finish is God's. None of it's our work. We can't take credit for anything. Not one thing. He's good, gracious, faithful, merciful. Paul says, in great love, he loved us. He takes credit for all of it. So Paul's warning us, don't get a big head. Don't get a big head. This is not about you. It is for you, but it's about him. He's got a plan, and it's to bring glory to him. We're his workmanship. So it's all, now we're talking about, he says, we're his workmanship. We don't have just a new identity, a new existence, a new life, a new purpose. We have a new, we're a new creation. We're a new, we're a workmanship. And then he says, we have a work to walk out. We're his workmanship. We're his masterpiece. We're his, I like to say, his piece of work. And we can say that with a little fun, but we are a piece of work. Right? Anybody, we just think about our own past and realize God's goodness that came to me where I was at and who I am now and who I'm going to be. Amen. We're his piece of work, not just individually, but a lot of times we read this like he's talking about just me. He's writing to the church, the community that had gathered together were hearing this. This is a communal perspective also. You're a piece of work. Shutesbury Community Church. And God has placed you here. You are a workmanship. You're his masterpiece in this community. And God has a work for you to walk out here. You were called and formed by a creative act of the Almighty God, individually and corporately. Remember, it's all his doing. He's the one who's done this start to finish. He has a new work, and he calls us, to walk in. We're created in Christ Jesus in good works. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. And I want to make the point of this: is He created us in Christ Jesus for good works that we should work out on our own strength, and we have to figure it out, and we can make some works happen. I mean, we could do that. We could do that in our flesh and do some good things, but there is a good work. I like to say a God work. That God has already prepared for you to walk in, to be occupied with, and to live in, to walk with him in. And back in verse 1 and 2, we talked about our sins and trespasses we walked in. Now he talks about this work we're called to walk in. We used to be occupied with a lot of other things we shouldn't be. Now we're called to be occupied with this work, this life, this work we're called to live out with him. It's a new lifestyle. Now, what are these? You know, what are these good works? I want to take some time here to talk about what these good works walk in. Like you say, this is good to hear, but what's the good work? What's this thing I'm supposed to walk in? Now, sometimes we think, sometimes we think, well, that's someone who has this special gifting that they use at a scheduled church event, like a piano player, right? Or a Sunday school teacher, or the sound person. And we're thinking that's the good work we're called to work in within this structure of our 1 hour on a Sunday morning. Well, that can apply to that. It's a good work we do. We use God's giftings for those purposes, and we're called to do that together as a community. But it's not just that. If you look through chapter 4 through 6, Paul actually starts to get into some very detailed, practical things of what these good works look like. And a lot of times they think of like, well, it's going out and knocking on doors. No, he actually turns back and he starts to talk about character issues. Talks about humility, about patience, about walking in unity. And those are the kinds of things he starts calling. He says, walk this way. Walk in love. Be like our Father. Imitate him. And he starts to talk about that as he talks about walking out this lifestyle. And he talks about avoiding being hard-hearted, uncaring. Anybody ever struggle with that? I'm not the only one, I'm sure. We still have to deal with these things, right? Let's be honest, like we're going to act like we got it all together yet. We're not. We're called to continue to walk this out. And what happens, Paul talks about living this life. We're called to actually start to practice certain character things that God is working in us, and also to put aside certain things that actually hinder us to be able to walk out the good works. But Paul talks about these good characteristics. He talks about being rooted in love and self-sacrifice like Jesus. So in general, he was talking about just in living your life, everyday life, husbands and wives, families, co-workers, right? Going into the community at the store, the country store. It's living life and having these characters. Where are we living out these characteristics? Character traits and these attitudes and mindsets that actually express life of Christ in our life. And that's what he starts to talk about throughout the book, the rest of the details of chapter 4 through 6. And he actually talks about really some practical things within relationships. Anybody have problems with any relationships? Okay. We all do, right? Anybody have to give you a hard time? Well, maybe you might be giving them a hard time. Well, see, we all struggle with these things, but Paul's saying, live out these good works. He didn't just save us to go about our life and be who we were. It's become different. So as we live these lives and we should get transformed, they start to express the life of the kingdom so others get to hear the good news through us. That's the life change that happens. But also, I want us to look at, Paul says, that not there yet. Sorry. he says his good works, what? That we have to figure out, that we have to make happen? No, he says he prepared them ahead of time. Well, what does that mean, he prepared these good works? Okay? It's something he's already lined up. Do you realize that God is not reactionary? It's not like all of a sudden something happens. Oh, wait, I got to figure out how I can fix what Kenny did. No. God's not reactionary. Paul says in verse 111 of Ephesians, he says, he's predestined us according to his purpose, and he works all things according to the counsel of his will. So he's already got a will and a purpose. He's working these things out, and he's divinely connecting us and meeting with people and circumstances and situations and timing. He's always doing this. Has anybody ever had one of these little moments like, that wasn't a coincidence? It should be happening. It's happening all the time. And he says there's these works that we're called to do that God has already prepared for us. Just like Calvary was not a response to something that happened that God didn't expect to happen in the garden. Like Adam and Eve, oh man, how are we going to fix this? No. It was before the foundation of the world that Jesus gave his life. He was crucified before that in the mind and heart of God. This is part of his plan. Well, just like that, everything that's happening in our life, as we're interacting with people and circumstances and timing and things, God, it's not a reaction. God's aligning things for us. It's whether we're aware of it or not. And sometimes we're aware, I'm like, whoa, that was a God moment, right? And sometimes we're supposed to recognize that this is a God moment and I need to embrace it as that. That's the good work we're called to live in, is to live in an awareness that God is at work right now. No, we see the church, we and you, we are part of God's original plan. We're not plan B, plan C, plan D. The church is God's plan. It's his way of working and bringing the kingdom right now into our communities that we live in. And we're to walk in and carry on the same good work that Jesus did, right? In the same way Jesus did. Acts 10:38. Sorry. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Who's with us? God, right? We can't forget that. So God filled Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Guess who he fills with the Holy Spirit? Me and you. He says, as he went about, as he walked around Shutesbury. How's he walking around Shutesbury? How is he walking around Shutesbury right now? You guys, the church here, but you, as you live your life, New Salem, right? Granby, how's he walking around right now doing good? With me and you. This is it. So this is who we were before Christ. Now who we are in Christ with this new identity, and we're raised up with Christ to live out a life that's completely different than ever before, with the purpose of bringing the life and the goodness of God to those we live, and we be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what we're called to be. I love a story. One of my favorite stories is John chapter 5, where Jesus heals a man at the pool of Bethesda. And he comes to this pool that's there, and he's walking up. He's walking around. He's just going there. And all of a sudden, there's hundreds of people at this pool because they would be waiting to be healed by stepping into this pool of Bethesda. And it says he walks up to one man and heals this crippled man and walks away. Because guess what? He came around doing good. And his father shows him in that moment, that's the man. But it happens is the religious leaders are not happy with him healing on the Sabbath. And they're not liking it. So they call him to account for that. And he comes to them and he responds. And his first response is, my father's always working, and so am I. We're supposed to be like Jesus. Jesus is our model, right? He's got our father. Yes, he's our father. Our father is still at work right now. And so am I. We should all be saying that. That's what Paul is calling us to embrace the work we're called to live in, to walk out. We are called to walk this out. And Jesus then goes, I can't do anything by myself. I can't do anything by myself. I can only do what my father is what I see my father doing. And my father has prepared a work for me to do. So I'm really sleepy. I was walking around here and I was watching my father. And I saw what he was doing. And I went there and he was doing this. So I joined him. I walked in it with him. Here's the good work. And I walked in with, here's our model. And then Jesus says, my father loves me. Who does he love right now? Me and you, right? He says, and he's going to show me even greater. So you would marvel. So you would be amazed. See, he's saying God's going to continue to be at work. Jesus is risen. We're risen with him. We're now here living. He's living through us. And we're supposed to be watching our Father. And as we see our Father doing things, we're supposed to walk with him and join him in it. And he's going to continue to do greater works. Why? Not till we can go, wow, that was cool what I did. No. Then people say, whoa, God is here. God's done this. When Jesus walked away, they never praised Jesus. They always praised God for the work that was happening. Somehow Jesus did it in a way that others saw the Father at work and understood and glorified his Father. So we do it in a humble way, being patient, being loving, being self-sacrificing. And God will then use us to bring the kingdom life to other people as we live our everyday life. So how did Jesus do this? He was in tune with his Father. How are we going to do it? We have to be in tune with our Father. We have to embrace the reality that for us, it's more than just doing religious duties. It's more than just doing our devotions. It's more than just developing good character. Those are things we do. But the life of a disciple, the early church, they didn't just go back to going to, you know, to doing religious duties. They went out. One of the first stories in Acts is they were walking by the Gate Beautiful. Oh, he's begging. He can't walk. Oh, what I have, I don't have any riches to give you, but what I have, I'll give to you. Get up and walk. They saw the Father doing something. The disciples, they followed what Jesus was doing. We're called to do the same. And I want to encourage you to embrace, not just say, this is who I am now as a child of God. It means we're called to embrace what that means to live as a follower of Jesus right now. and embracing what God's called us to walk in right now. I'm going to close with reading Ephesians 5, 14 through 18. It says here, it's one of the last times he uses the word walk here, but he says, therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Actually, I want to take this personally. This is, I'm not saying it just for you. I'm saying it for me too. This has been stirring in my heart. I'm in a part of a group that we're doing a study in Ephesians right now. I love this book. And this is stirring my heart to the life that we are called to live this dynamic, organic, intimate relationship with our Father. Fully awake, fully alive, up and walking. I'm going to say up and running with Him. Because He has something for us to walk in. And so take this as I read this. Take it as something personal that God's saying to each one of us here. Therefore, I say, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So don't just wake up. Don't just get stirred up. Get up. That's what he's saying. Here's what he says, rise from the dead. Arise. Get up. It means get up and embrace what God's called you to be and embrace the walk God's called you to walk out. And he says, walk carefully. Be intentional. Be careful. Be very intentional about living your life every day in this reality that you are a child of God. Don't just sing it here on Sunday morning. We have to get up every morning. I am a child of God. I have a new identity. I'm a member of His household. I have a new existence to live out. I have a new life that's living in me, itching to get out. And with that, He's got a work today for me to walk in. Be alert. Be intelligent. Intentional about it. Be wise. Don't waste any opportunities. Anybody ever wasted opportunity and have regret? I'm not the only one I know. We miss things and we think, oh, that was God and I didn't jump in. The more we walk with Jesus, the more we'll say, yes, I'm in. I'm in on this one. And He wants us to be that way. And don't be occupied with getting intoxicated. And I don't mean just wine. He says wine here, but we can get intoxicated with a lot of things. For our career, our families, our kids' sports. All different kinds of things we can get intoxicated that consumes our life and it blinds us to this reality of who we really are and what our kingdom life we're called to live out right now. And we miss the kingdom happening around us. Don't get intoxicated, but be filled with who? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's an active, intentional practice we have to engage in. Be being filled. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You. God, thank You that You took us from who we were and You didn't leave us there. You rescued us. You came to us, not just dying for us, but You came and gave us real life, fresh life, a new existence, and gave us a new identity. And I pray, God, for us as Your people, God, that we would not just talk about this. I pray, God, that this would be something that arrests our soul, that lays hold of us. In such a way that we cannot let it go, and it won't let go of us. So I pray, God, that You do that by Your Spirit in us. Help us to understand really a new measure of who we are. We've all, to some degree, know that we say these words, that we were a child of God, but what does that really mean? And I pray, God, for each one of us, You give us a new, deeper understanding of what that means. But not only that, I pray, God, help us to see the opportunities. Help us to see the walk that's happening all around. See the good work. And I pray, God, in those moments that You would just give us all the courage we need to say, I'm all in. I'm all in. I don't want to hold back anymore. I pray, God, that You would work in us to do that. And I pray, God, in all of it, we don't want to boast in ourselves. We don't want to boast in anything we do. But God, we want You to be made famous. Not us, but You, God. You're the famous one. You and You alone. And we love You and are grateful, God, for Your goodness toward us. In Your name we pray. Amen.